Bibles this morning to the passage that Jonathan read for us this morning together, John chapter 12. It's a new song for us this morning. It's a good song, though. Thank you for sharing that with us, Donovan. I'm sure as we learn it, we'll get better at it, right? Whenever we try something for the first time, it takes a little bit of a learning curve there. John chapter 12. It's good to see you this morning. It's good to see some folks visiting with us. It's good to see Doug back with us. Nice to meet you today, Matt. You got a great name. And Doc and Mrs. Martin, good to see you guys with us. And then, of course, it's good to have Rachel. Make sure you fill out a visitor's card, as I told you. All right. But it's good to have Mrs. Smith back with us. And Mike said, amen. All right. Well, John chapter 12. I'm going to look here this morning from anguish to accomplishment in this passage as we're working through the Gospel of John. We started in chapter 1 and we're now in chapter 12 working through. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, there's one in front of you, one of the seat pockets below in front of you, and you'll find we're on page 898 in that Bible, if you'd like to follow along with us this morning. A man once said that struggle is the food from which change is made. Struggle is the food from which change is made. Struggle is one of those things that all humanity has in common. If you think about your own life and the common struggles that we sometimes, and there's some struggles that we open up about, right? The struggles like the car broke down. We don't really mind if everybody knows about that. There's the struggles of relationships with coworkers. You know, you'll never believe what Billy did at work or Sally did at work. There's the surgeries and the physical pains and some social, political things and the like. And then there's other pains and struggles that we have in life that we're not as open about. Interpersonal relationships with husbands and wives, with our children. Thoughts about who we really are. Thoughts of inadequacy, and sometimes we wonder what our purpose in life is. Certain relationship pains and just different things, depression and loneliness, and things that we aren't readily open about. And these are all things that we can relate to. But we also have struggles beyond those, struggles as we have been going through the Gospel of John time and time again. We continue to come back to this idea that we need to be sharing Christ. That, if you have not gotten that out of this, you're not paying attention. Because time and time again, we see Jesus is on mission, and as He's on mission and He's going out in His ministry, and we started with the ministry in Cana, and now we're about to see in verse number 36 this morning where Jesus withdraws and He is done now with His public ministry. And all through this time in this public ministry, Jesus has been on mission. And can I be really, really blunt with you this morning? It is not always comfortable to follow Christ. It is sometimes downright difficult. It's hard to stay on task, to stay on mission. And so that is another struggle that we have as we live day by day in our lives. It's not easy to represent Christ in our workplaces. It's not easy to be the guy or the gal who's just a little bit different, who doesn't follow after the normal cultural things and laugh at the normal cultural things, or find joy in certain normal cultural things. It can be really difficult to follow Christ and stay on mission. Sometimes it can be downright lonely. Sometimes it can be downright hateful. And so, there is no person that can understand better than Christ. Whereas we represent Christ as we're out on mission, as we follow Christ, Christ himself is the mission. And he felt while he was on mission, things in a greater way than you and I will ever feel. For it is Christ who was the object of vile and persecution and all those things. We just represent the person and work of Christ. And it was very difficult for Christ. Do you remember people questioned his authenticity, his motives? They said, can this really be the Christ? People like him for what he could do for them. In other words, they used him. Do you remember the feeding of the 5,000? People betrayed, he was even betrayed by a very close friend, one of the 12. People wanted to kill him. Remember, the Jews were seeking to kill him. We saw that in John chapter 7. People chalked him up to being loony, to being not right in the mind. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to die, and where I'm going, you can't go. And they for sure thought, oh, he must be talking suicidal because we're going to be able to go to heaven someday. He's off his rocker. He's loony. He's weird. He's out of the norm. Man, if anybody can relate to being on mission and feeling rejected and talked about and made to feel weird and abnormal, it's Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we look at this text and we jump right into verse 27, the very first thing that Jesus says here, he says in verse 27 in this passage, now is my soul troubled. Man, Jesus can really understand what it's like to be on mission. And so this morning, can I just encourage you that no matter where you work and what you do, I understand that being on mission and sharing Christ is not always easy. If somebody ever told you, hey, turn to Christ and everything's going to be wonderful, they were a liar. Because it's not always easy. It is downright hard, as I've said. And there's nobody that can relate better than Jesus. Jesus, from anguish to accomplishment, is what we see here in these verses this morning. The very first thing is anguish. In verse number 27, I really believe there's a couple types of anguish going on here. Now remember, we've looked and that Jesus is the God-man. Remember? Jesus is talking here, I believe, about two things he's dealing with. He's dealing with the anguish of the physical, but also the anguish of the spiritual. As a human, he was going to have to endure, as he says in verse 32, a crucifixion. He said lifted up. That was another way of saying being crucified, being lifted up. But it wasn't just the crucifixion that was about to happen to him. It was betrayal and accusations, and it was rejection, and it was disrespect and beatings and torture and piercings and sufferings. That's what Jesus had to endure. Maybe you can relate to one or some of these in your walk with Christ. We don't live in a culture where we're taken to the wood post in the middle of the town square and beaten. But man, I tell you, beatings from the tongue can hurt sometimes just as much as beatings from a whip. And so Jesus had to deal with these, but also with spiritual anguish. Remember in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. What was he talking about? He was talking about the cup there was the cup of God's divine wrath. Do you remember Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he began to sweat great drops of blood? Why would he do this? As I mentioned a few weeks ago, the reason is because what is death? Death is separation from God. Could you imagine the God-man being separated from the Father? You would have sweat great drops of blood as well. Everything that being separated from the Father was such an overwhelming thing, he sweat great drops of blood. Luke 22 further gives us a vivid picture there with the great drops of blood. But also, you know, we sing a song sometimes. The name of the song is called His Robes for Mine. You remember it? And there in that song is a phrase that I'll never forget, where it says there in the refrain, Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Man, this is the anguish that Jesus knowingly was going through on mission as he was doing the will of the Father. There was the great spiritual and also the great physical anguish. I really like the way one commentator had some application with this, and I never really thought about this before. I find something that may be very encouraging to you as you're on mission. Working through and struggling as you're on mission is not wrong. As he put it, quote, conflict with sin is not sin itself. Asking God to let things pass or asking him why for the purpose of understanding, not why for the purpose of accusation. Asking that question or trying to find out the purpose is not wrong. Struggling with things is not wrong. Jesus says here in verse 27, my soul is troubled. He says in Luke 22, let this cup pass from me. Man, I find this as a human very encouraging. Because I don't know about you, but there are times when I'm on mission or when I'm doing the will of the Father or you're taking a stand and you're doing what's right. And it's sometimes even within your own family. Sometimes it's your closest friends. And they can be so... you know what I mean? And it can just hurt. And you want to quit. Man, you know what Jesus said? He said, I understand. His soul was troubled. He said, let this cup pass from me. This is not wrong. It's not easy to do right in the workplace and relationships. It's not easy to do right on social media. But can I encourage you this morning, even in the anguish of mission, Jesus can relate to what you're going through. Isn't that an amazing Savior that we have? Jesus understands. The second thing that we see here in this text is we really see Jesus' response of adoration in verse 27 and verse 28. The second part of verse 27 says, Father, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. In other words, you know, rescue me from what's about to happen. That's not what he said. He says, for this purpose I have come this hour. What is that purpose? Verse 28, the first part, Father, glorify your name. His response and his anguish was to adore or glorify the Father. That is, he chose intentionally to love and to worship and to esteem or glorify. That's what the word glory means here. By obedience to do the will of the Father, his obedience demonstrated that the suffering made a difference. His obedience showed that he loved the Father. His obedience showed, even when it was full of anguish, showed the importance of staying on mission. If Jesus was willing to go through and obey the will of the Father, you know, I wonder if we should be willing to obey and go through the anguish while we're on mission. You know what this does? I think what it does for Jesus, I think what the point is, what Jesus does is he stays on mission. Because you know the old song, right? He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done that. I think one place specifically in the text it says 72,000 angels he could have called. But Jesus chose to suffer. I think what that shows is, it shows really that the Father wants to reconcile those who have turned their back on him. It shows that the Father is merciful and he doesn't want, even though we deserve eternal separation from him, he pursues after those who have turned their back. It magnifies his justice. God didn't cheat and give and wink and give people some sort of free pass for their rebellion, enacting some sort of cheap grace or worthless kindness. But God judicially and honestly and completely provided a way where we could be squared with God the Father, where we could be squared with the penalty of our rebellion. This is the purpose of the Son adoring or glorifying the Father. Ah, Jesus adored the Father. You know, someone's opinion counts in your life. Jesus showed whose opinion counts by his obedience in his life. You know, in your life, if your opinion counts, then go ahead. You do what you want to do. If your opinion matters the most, then do what you want to do. If somebody else's opinion matters the most, then do what they want you to do. But if Christ's opinion and his example counts for anything, oh, my friends, even in the anguish, can I encourage you, can I implore you to adore the Father? Stay on mission because it is important. People will see the mercy and the reconciliation and the justice of Jesus Christ as you point them, even though they beat you down. Then we see in verses 28, the second part, in verse 29, we see the answer from the Father. The answer to the Son is, as the Son says, glorify your name. And then a voice from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. In verse 29, the crowd that there stood and heard it and said that it had thunders. Others said, well, it was an angel that spoke to him. The Father answers back to the Son and states that he will glorify it again and again and again and again. The Father, all along through the ministry of Jesus, through Jesus' struggles, has been showing that Jesus is the only one who can make a difference. He is the only one that can make an eternal and lasting impact. He's not done glorifying yet his name. In just 5 days or so from now, Jesus will be the substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He will be the substitutionary sacrifice for your sins. And he was. Jesus knows this. And for this, he continues to struggle, even when others try to attribute to something else, thunder, or to someone else like angels. The Father in your life, can I encourage you this morning? While you're on mission, the Father will answer back to you, not audibly like this, but you know how he'll answer you? He'll answer you in faithfulness. Aren't you thankful we have a Father who will never leave you, who will never forsake you, and that you don't have to go it alone in life? That even when the going gets tough, even when you feel like an island in the middle of the ocean, even when everybody points the finger at you, even when other people talk about you behind your back, that you're different or weird or insane when you're betrayed, that the Father is always going to be faithful to you. That's the God that we serve. That's the Father's answer back to you. Oh, and isn't that such a wonderful and blessed answer? The last thing that we see in this text this morning is we move from anguish to accomplishment. And we see this in verse 30 through verse 36. In verse 31, Jesus really summarizes the following. In verse 30, Jesus really summarizes 31 through verse 36. This is what he says in verse 30. This voice has come for your sake and not for mine. What is he talking about here? What's his point? Well, really, in these next verses, we see three things that this has accomplished, that Jesus' struggle on mission, his faithfulness to the mission, to the will of the Father has accomplished. Verse 31 says that his obedience accomplished judgment for the world. The sentence that was passed by the world was actually a sentence passed by the Father on the world. There are eternal consequences for rejecting the Son. You have to come face to face with this question in your own life. What are the consequences of your rebellion, of my rebellion against God, and how do I get righteous with Him? That answer to the question is important because to reject the Son means eternal judgment. They did not judge the Father. The Father, through the death of the Son judged the world. The Father judged the world. This is the severity of our mission. The second thing we see in verse 31, the second half of verse 31, brings to mind Genesis 3:15, because it says that the second half of verse 31, now this judgment has come upon the ruler. Now will the ruler of the world be cast out. Who is this ruler of the world? Genesis 3:15 says that someday God will deal a death blow to defeat Satan. That time was here, and the hour of the atonement was here, and the power and the penalty of sin would be broken. We don't have to wonder, because Jesus is not dead and in the grave, but He's risen to walk in newness of life. We don't have to wonder. Jesus is alive today. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, reigning. And He's interceding for you while you're on mission. Even, verse 27, when your soul is troubled. Man, Jesus can relate. This is the importance of our mission and what Jesus has accomplished. The third thing that we see here, we see in verse 32 through verse 36. There were some in the crowd who still didn't understand. They ask in verse 34, who is this Son of Man? This is really not a question solely of identity, but it's also a question of quality. You see, the Messiah would not die. He would live forever. And furthermore, this Messiah would not die of crucifixion. More on that in just a moment. But Jesus, this tells us, will draw all men to Himself. And those who come will be, what's the text say? Sons of what? Sons of light. That is, this is a person who has moved from the power and the penalty of sin to the light of reconciliation with God the Father. The light of restoration with God. Because every person has sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, you don't measure up to have a relationship with God. You chose to turn your back on Him. And there is only one way to be restored, and that's through Jesus Christ. You know, Christ was faithful on His mission because He knew His faithfulness would deal a death blow to Satan once and for all. And perhaps you're here today and you've become a child of light. Do you know why? Because Jesus stayed on mission. If you just think about what would have happened if Jesus decided to throw His hands up and say, I've had enough, I'm going back to where I rightfully deserve to be at the right hand of the Father. I'm God. I'm one of them, the second person of the Trinity. But He didn't do that, did He? Knowing full well what His suffering and sacrifice and struggles would bring, He was faithful even to the point of death. Is that not an amazing Savior? This is Jesus. My question this morning in closing to you is, who is this Son of Man? Who is the Son of Man? If Christ isn't your deliverer and your rescuer, if this faithfulness to the mission of the Father hasn't really reached you yet, let me share something with you. The culture, because of Deuteronomy chapter 21, the culture, I mentioned crucifixion just a moment ago. Remember verse 32 said, I'm going to be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Because the Messiah would not be crucified. Why did they think that? Because Deuteronomy 21, their belief was that being hung up was a curse. The choice capital punishment for people was being stoned to death in the Jewish community. That's how they dealt with punishment. They stoned people. But if you were cursed, or if you wanted to be made an example of, you would be hung up, crucified, nailed to a tree, strapped to a tree, or something like that. To be hung on a tree was considered something very cursed. And it was used to be a deterrent to others from doing the same actions at which this person who was hung did. So, therefore, the true Messiah would never be crucified. Why? Because everybody wanted to follow Him. He wasn't going to be made an example of. we should follow the Messiah. And furthermore, he would never be cursed. He was the Messiah. And so they thought, who is this Son of Man? If you are going to die, if you are going to be hung up, if you are going to be crucified, then you can't be the Son of Man. Because they thought that the Son of Man, the true Messiah, would be a triumphant deliverer. He would be a triumphant rescuer. And that's just it, folks. That's just it. Jesus was the triumphant rescuer. Jesus was the triumphant rescuer. Because Galatians tells us what? That Jesus became a curse for who? For you. Jesus was hung as an example for us not to follow after sin in our own way, but to follow after Christ. Jesus became the sin and really became the example for us. Jesus became the curse for your sin. Isn't that an amazing Savior? That's why Jesus was obedient to the Father's will, to Jesus, to the Father's mission. And so, who is the Son of Man? He's the rescuer. And he's the Redeemer. You know what? A man once said, right? Now that struggle that Jesus has, that's a struggle from which change has been made. The change, the struggle that Jesus made while he stayed on mission has changed everything. And you know how I know that? Because you're here in worship of him today, I hope. And if you're not, man, let me share with you from the Scriptures what Jesus has done for you. And so, friends, family, if anybody ever told you life was easy as a Christian, they lied to you. It's hard. It's difficult. But can I encourage you to stay on mission no matter where you are and no matter what's going on in your life? Jesus said, "My soul is troubled." He knows what it's like to be like you. May we follow his example in our lives and our mission. Can we pray together this morning? Oh, with your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, you can say, "Pastor, you know, I get it. It's hard." And you know, it's not easy in my context. It's not easy with my family. It's not easy with coworkers. It's not easy because of some things that I struggle with personally. It's not easy for a variety of reasons. And it's hard, really just downright hard. And I know that I have not been as faithful as I should be on mission. If that's you this morning, will you just take a few moments and will you interact with the Savior this morning, following, recommitting yourself to follow his example and to pursue and confess and to repent that you have not been on mission. Time and time again, we've heard to be on mission, to share Jesus because he is real. And may we be real and understand that it's not easy. And may you interact with that this morning if you're struggling. So just take the next few moments and deal with that this morning personally, would you? And Father, I too sometimes am distracted, sometimes don't want to speak. Lord, even this week, I ask for your forgiveness for when I was with Jamie and with Ken and we were eating and the waiter came up and I didn't engage him. Lord, I just was too busy doing other things and other conversations. And Lord, it's whether it's forgetfulness or whether it's just not wanting to engage people, we're tired, whether it's just hard because we know they'll roll their eyes, whatever it could be, it's hard to be on mission. It's not comfortable. And so, Lord, I pray for folks. I pray for my friends here this morning. Lord, as I look out this morning and we looked at the gospel this morning and saw Jesus' example, I looked at them and I could see in their different work contexts and their different family contexts that maybe it's difficult. It's very hard to share Christ, to want to be faithful. And so, Lord, you can relate. Jesus, can we just thank you that you can relate? And that it's not wrong. But, Lord, really, that through that interaction, through that difficulty, it really can be our authenticity and our genuineness as a Christian can be made just as much manifest by our conflict as it is our peace and our joy. And so, Lord, I thank you that you had a troubled soul, that you asked the cup to pass from you, because you can relate and understand, because just a few days from now, you would pay the ultimate price for me. And so thank you for that. Lord, help me to repent. Help me, Lord, to do better in the future. Help us all as we're on mission for Christ, because this world is dying and going to hell today. Lord, we need Jesus, and we thank you for this example this morning. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you, and may his face shine upon you this week. The Lord bless you as you go.